Come on, all the Jesus-loving people, where are you? So good. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to God's house. And I'm glad to be in God's house. Nudge your neighbor and tell him I'm glad. Go ahead, tell him I'm glad. I'm glad to be in God's house. I'm glad to be here. We are continuing our series called Love Brings Joy, out of the letter that was inspired by the Holy Spirit and written by John, called 1 John. I hope you're reading through this book just regularly while we're in this service. We find in the fourth verse of the first chapter why he wrote the book, and that's the theme of this series. I'm writing these things to you so that you might have full joy, not just joy, full joy. John heard Jesus say that, and so John was trying to capture that, and now he's trying to give it to his friends, and we're trying to give it to our friends. We have a goal in this series that you will become more joyful. Come on, somebody. That you will smile more while I talk. That's how I know it's getting through. I would just love the day we would come here, and before we ever sing a song or hear a scripture, that you would be full of joy in your car before you got in the building, and that we would feel that vibration of joy in the house. That's what John says. I want your joy to be full. Now, John has another theme, several themes in this book. Of course, the word joy, we've pointed out to you in the series, is only mentioned one time in this verse. He said this is the purpose of the book. But then he gives us the ways to find joy. In fact, he says over 26 times, love, 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 love. You get love, 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 you get it? Love, 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 love. He said 26 times, so you get it. And that's why we've called this series, Love Brings Joy. But let me tell you, joy doesn't just happen. You got to fight for it. You do. Did you know you are in a battle? And John points that out. In fact, John 1 and 4 has an interesting verse that follows it called verse number. Come on, that wasn't even rocket science. That wasn't that difficult. After verse 4 comes verse. Very good. And notice that he says, okay, there are two kingdoms. They are both vying for your attention. And if you want to grow in joy, you've got to learn how to defeat darkness, to walk in the light is what he calls us to. And that's what we're talking about today. As you desire, how many desire to increase in joy? Say yes or yes. That's right. As you desire that, be aware that it doesn't just happen. How many know love doesn't just happen? You've got to be purposeful. Joy doesn't just happen. You've got to decide in your faith that I am going to be a more joyful person. Have you made that decision? I hope so. The people around you would really appreciate that. Let's pick up verse 5. Right after the theme of the book is introduced in verse 4, in verse 5 he says, this is the message that we have heard from him or from Jesus and that we declare to you, watch this, that God is light. Everybody say, God is light. And that in him there is no darkness at all. So there's a God that we're discovering, we're growing in, and he's full of light. But there also is darkness. Now, there's no darkness in God, but there's darkness in the world. In fact, that's the same theme of Scripture. The book of Genesis. The book of Genesis opens up in darkness. And God, what's the first thing God says in Genesis? Let there be light. In fact, John has another book in the Bible called the Gospel of John, and it opens up very much like Genesis. In the beginning is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that light came and shone in the darkness. It's a theme of John's heart. In fact, you could sum up John's emphasis primarily on love, but secondarily on light. It's in this book over and over again. And your study guide, I've put some scriptures, and if you have them, you can pull them out and look at them, or they'll come up on the screen. But just notice how he emphasizes this theme of light and walking in the light and avoiding darkness. Verse 7 of chapter 1 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What he's saying is, as we overcome darkness and as we live and walk in the light, we have better relationships with each other, fellowship with each other, and fellowship with God. There's no sin that separates us from God. We have fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with one another. And that increases our joy. Look in verse 2. He says again, a new commandment I write to you, which is true in him and in you. Because, watch this, darkness is passing away. Everybody say that. Darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. So there's a conflict. There's a battle for what you think about, what seizes your emotions. And God would like to win and have you walk in the light. But there's darkness that's pulling you, tempting you, saying, over here. And he's saying these two kingdoms exist, and he's calling you to walk in the light. In fact, you can tell if you're growing in the light. Verse 9 of chapter 2 says, if you say you're in the light and you hate other people, your brothers, your sisters, your family, your spiritual family, if you say, hey, I'm in the light, but you hate others, then you really are in darkness. Verse 10 of chapter 2, he who loves his brother, if you really are filled with love, there's the key to joy. If you are fully in love, engaged with others, then you're abiding in the light and you're not going to stumble. So he's calling us, walk in the light, live in the light, be enlightened. God would like you to be enlightened. Nudge your neighbor, say he's talking about you. He'd like you to be enlightened. Turn the lights on, see things. And we pray today that while we're together, there would be in this room the light of God, a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, that you would see things from God's perspective. And so we come to the verses we're going to study today that talks about this battle that you're engaged in, whether you know it or not, between light, God's voice to you, and darkness, the devil's voice to you. So let's delve into that as we come to chapter 2, and we start with verse 15 as he encourages us to orient our love in the right direction. If you want to increase in joy, if you want to defeat the darkness, it comes back to the all-important subject of what do you love? Who do you love? What has your attention? What has your affection? And he says to us in verse 15, hey, don't love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in them. So let's think about that for a moment. First of all, we know that there are some things in the world, watch this, that we are to love. But John is comfortable with this paradox because he writes to us, right? John wrote John 3:16. John wrote that as well. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world. But didn't John just say, don't love the world? But doesn't God love the world? What's going on there? Here it is. God loves the people in the world. God loves you very much. And he wants all of us to love the people in the world. All of God's children, he wants us to love them. But he's acknowledging there is a system in the world, there is a darkness in the world that we're not supposed to love. It actually is hurting people, and that's why God has nothing to do with it. There's darkness that hurts people. And he says, stay away from that. Keep your love towards the light. Be aware that there's a kingdom of darkness. Don't love the things of darkness. Love the things that are light, so that you have your focus and your feelings, your attention and your affections on God. So as you get up every morning, you put your attention on God, not on Not on all the worry, not on all the stress, not all the things that the world is trying to pull you into. You get up every day and you say, good morning, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. I thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a day that I walk in the light. This is going to be a day of victory for me. This is a day that I'm going to overcome darkness and I'm going to live victorious because I love the light. I don't want to love the things that are dark, that are in the world. And if you want to understand what he's talking about, just move with me to the next verse as he unpacks the things that are in the world, these things that we're not supposed to love, these things that we're supposed to take our focus off of, take our attention off of, and put our attention on the Lord as he encourages us to win over the world. He says in verse 16, for all that is in the world, that's all the things that we're not supposed to love. And then he breaks it down into three big categories. If you're a note taker, get ready to take some numbers down. There's three things. He says, all the things that are in the world, I want to break it down into three things that are trying to pull you into darkness. He calls it the lust of the flesh. That'd be number one. The lust of the eyes. That would be number two. And the pride of life. That would be number three. He said, these are the things you shouldn't love. And these are the three areas, get this, everybody, this is the three areas that darkness is trying to attack you. Be aware of them. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all of these are not from the Father, not from the kingdom of light, not from the kingdom of God, but they're from this world. Do you remember when Jesus was on the earth, and if you're a note taker, in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, that the devil came to Jesus and tried to pull Jesus into darkness. Do you remember that? The temptation of Christ. I will tell you that if the devil came after Jesus, he's coming after you too. This is just how he works. And he showed up with Jesus and said, Jesus, aren't you very, 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 very hungry? You've been fasting for 40 days. You're hungry. Aren't you hungry? Aren't you hungry, Jesus? So what you should do, Jesus, to satisfy your hunger, as he scoops up a rock, he says, just speak to this rock. You, Jesus, you could do this. You could turn this rock into a piece of bread. Aren't you hungry? Doesn't your flesh want some food? And what does Jesus say? He quotes back a portion from Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, man, people, humanity, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God. Now in Deuteronomy 8, if you're a note taker, there was a test that was going on. God's people were in the wilderness, and they had gone without food, and they were wondering where food would come from, and God was testing them to see if they would trust God to be their provider. That's the same test that the enemy is giving to Jesus right here. Will you trust that God is going to provide for your needs? Or are you going to go looking for, get this, a shortcut? Remember we talked in this series that sin, in one definition of sin, it's an attempted shortcut to joy. I'll do this to get joy. I'm looking for joy. I'll do this. And that's exactly what darkness is saying to Jesus. Hey, just turn this stone into bread. Shortcut trusting God. Just do it. Now today, people are tempted by darkness to take shortcuts. A young man may be in the fellowship, in the church, and say, you know, Scott, I can't find a good and godly girl, so I'm just going to take a shortcut and I'm going to hook up with that cutie. I know she's not good and godly, but maybe someday she'll become good and godly. I'll shortcut. I can't trust God's provision. I'm going to speed up the process. Or a sister in the congregation who says, I can't find a good and godly guy, and I've got this desire, I'm going to shortcut it. I'm going to settle for him. Now, here's the problem. When you leave the Father's house, like the prodigal, and go looking for a shortcut to joy, which is exactly what the prodigal did, it's very possible that you'll end up with a pig. Worth being here just for that right there was. And Jesus said, darkness, and this is the same resolve you have to have. Darkness, devil, I am not going to take a shortcut. Oh, you're thirsty? That's something your flesh wants? Well, then you should just drink this and get wasted. He takes a natural desire and twists it into an illegitimate search for joy. And Jesus just said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to trust that God will take care of me. That's what all the brothers and sisters in the house need to do. I'm going to trust that God will take care of me in his time. That's going to happen. I'm not going to cheat in a business deal. I'm going to trust that God will put things together. I'm going to trust God that he is going to be my provider and take care of me because he's my loving heavenly father and I trust him. That's what Jesus said. So when that one didn't work, when that lust of the flesh, that hunger didn't work, then he took Jesus and he used what is called the lust of the eyes. Remember, he took Jesus and he showed him all of the kingdoms of the world. He said, hey, look, Jesus, look. Look at this city. Look at this community. Look at this place. Look at all of the kingdoms of the world. And you could have them. Watch again. You could take a shortcut. You don't have to go to the cross, Jesus. You don't have to suffer the passion. You don't have to have the scourging of the cat of nine tails. You can avoid all of that. You can take a shortcut. All you have to do, I'll give you all these kingdoms, all these things you can see. I'll give them all to you if you'll only bow down and worship me. I'm offering you a shortcut. But it's darkness. And Jesus comes back again, quoting from Deuteronomy. And he says, no. You should worship only God. You should serve only God. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, darkness will put up a lot of things for you to see. Look here. Look at this. Don't you want it? Didn't he do that with Eve in the garden? Hey, look at this piece of fruit, whatever it was. We don't know, an apple or a pomegranate. Some kind of something. Look at that, doesn't it look great? I know there's a lot of other fruit, but doesn't this one really look good? And Jesus applies this principle, and we should get this. If what you're looking at, here's a test. If what you're looking at does not help you to worship God and serve God, it's very possible the lust of the eyes. And I've got a solution for the lust of the eyes. Are you ready? If you're a note taker, you want to get this. If you've drifted off mentally, just come back, because this is very important. Here is the solution to the lust of the eyes. Are you ready? Are everybody ready? Yes. Don't look. It's pretty simple. Turn that screen off. Don't look. Look away. Somebody has said it's the second look that kills you. But then guys just take a long first look. Just don't look. Just say I'm gonna put a guard on my eyes. I'm not gonna fall into that. I'm not. If it's not helping me to worship God, not bringing me closer to God. If it's not helping me to serve God, I'm gonna apply that principle. I'm not gonna get pulled into darkness. I'm not gonna take this promised shortcut. I'm going to follow God. I'm gonna experience deep abiding joy rather than a cheap thrill, because a cheap thrill is not joy. We can't confuse those things. The world offers a lot of cheap thrills, but it's not joy. It's a shortcut. And he offered them to Jesus. He offered them to Eve. And when the lust of the flesh doesn't work, and when the lust of the eyes doesn't work, remember he brings them up into a high place. And he applies the pride of life. He takes Jesus up into the high height of the temple. And over the Kidron Valley, and he says, okay, what I want you to do, Jesus, is show off your power. I want you just to throw yourself off the edge. It's the long way down there. Throw yourself off the edge. And doesn't the Bible say that the angels will, like, take care of you? And that you won't even injure your foot in any way? Jesus, show off your power. He's appealing to Jesus' ego. Watch this. Did Jesus have the power to throw himself off and be rescued by God? Well, Jesus had all kinds of power. Just read. He was opening up blind eyes. He was opening up deaf ears. He was healing leprosy. Jesus was full of power. But when he used his power, it was to help. Get that? It was to help others. And what the enemy, what darkness was saying is, hey, just show people. Don't you know, Jesus? It's all about you. And the enemy will come and pull you to bruise your ego, to tell you nobody loves you, you're not appreciated, or to puff your ego. Oh, man, you are so important. They can't get along without you. And Jesus says, no, no, no. No, no. I'm not going to throw myself off. I'm not going to do that. You shouldn't tempt the Lord your God. It's the same way that the enemy worked with Eve in the garden when he said, hey, Eve, you could be like God, puffing her ego. If you just eat that, can't you see this piece of fruit? Doesn't it look good? Aren't you hungry? Aren't you hungry right now, Eve? Wouldn't you want this? It'll make you like God. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's the way that the enemy worked in Eve's life and Adam's life and Jesus' life. And for sure, that's what he's trying to do in you. To distract you. Hey, look over here. The world has this to offer you. Take a shortcut to joy. And what the scriptures and what the Spirit is calling us to is to a joy that doesn't come from this world. It comes from a relationship with God, and the world can't give it to you. And when you know that, the world can't take it away. That's what's important. So let me back up and say one more principle from the next verse, and that is that we take an eternal view of life. That we emphasize the eternal as we walk in the light. Because as John continues, he says, hey, this world, if you invest in this world, if you take these shortcuts to joy, which are only cheap thrills, this world is passing away, verse 17. This world is passing away, and the lust of it, all these things we've just talked about, they're passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Everybody say abides forever. He's just saying, and I would encourage you as well, don't lose your joy over temporary things. You get so upset about things that don't matter 24 hours later. You are steamed. You are worse than steamed. You are, and then 24 hours you're going, well, that wasn't really that important. Or the thing that you absolutely were crushed over a month ago, you can't even remember what it was this month because it was temporary. He just said, back up and learn in life and learn in love and learn in joy. There are things that are important and they're not things. There are things that are important and they're not things, they're people. This building someday will pass away. It's gonna go. This is not the church. This is the church. There are some eternal things in this place, and they're not things. They're people. There is eternity in this house. You are an eternal being. You have an eternal destiny, and that's what's important. And we've got to back up and go, oh, it's not about this. It's about this. That you would value your relationships, especially in the church. These people that you are sitting around are your forever family. You better learn to get along with them. I have this subtle thought, I've told you before, that people in the church you can't get along with are on your street in heaven. God will say, hey, just work things out. You are with eternity in this room. The people that are doing the will of God are going to abide forever. Nudge your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. You are going forever. You are forever. And he just said, hey, back up. And isn't it better when we're in good relationships with each other? Doesn't that just increase joy itself? We love each other the way God loves us. You can laugh by yourself. That's a lot of fun, isn't it? You ever just laugh out loud all by yourself? But isn't it great, better when other people are with you and you laugh out loud? It's just, it's better. This is God's plan. We're better when we're together. And he has this family that he's building and he's calling people into. He's calling you into it today. Hey, come out of darkness. Maybe you've been selling yourself short. Maybe the dark kingdom of this world has been pulling you into things that don't satisfy. And today he's saying, hey, come on into my family. It's good. It's the safest place for you to be in this conflict between good and evil is in his family. A few days ago, Darla and I returned from a pilgrimage in the Holy Land. And we went to the places. Like we were in Bethlehem and we were in Nazareth and we were on the Galilee, very beautiful. And then we took a little trip up to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And Caesarea Philippi would not be on any tourist map for Holy Land tours unless Jesus visited Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus did visit Caesarea Philippi. It's not really easy to get to. The Galilee sits, and above the Galilee is Mount Hermon. And at the foot of Mount Hermon, a little bit up, is Caesarea Philippi. And to get from Galilee, where Jesus spent a lot of his time, up to this kind of remote hilly area, you have to walk 2 or 3 days. So one day, Jesus said, okay, guys, let's go. We're go. And they walked 2 or 3 days to get to what we call now Caesarea Philippi. And the reason he went there was to make one of the most important announcements of his entire ministry. It was at Caesarea Philippi that they get there, and then he stops. Okay. Turns around, looks at his friends, and says, who do people say I am? And someone said, well, somebody said you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. And someone says you're Elijah the prophet. And someone says you're Jeremiah the prophet. Or one of the prophets anyway. And they talked about that a little bit. And then Jesus asked the most important question that any of us will ever answer. Who do you say? Who do you say I am? Who do you say? Everyone should consider that. If you're checking God out, consider Jesus. Don't get distracted by me. Don't get distracted by this church. Ask yourself the question, who was Jesus? And he turns to his disciples and says, who do you say? And I love Peter. Peter has been thinking about this. And he's going to say it for the first time. He's going to make this pronouncement at Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus hears the words of Peter coming out of his mouth. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you're right. And on this, I will build my church. And then he says this, and the gates of hell, the darkness of this world will not prevail against it. Now, he came to Caesarea Philippi to do that because Caesarea Philippi was a very evil place. If you know Israeli history, when they had a civil war and when they divided the country, Jeroboam took the tribes in the north, and he didn't want the people coming down to the south to worship in Jerusalem, so he set up altars to Baal, a false god in the north, one in Bethel and the other in the area of Caesarea Philippi. There are altars to Baal in that area where there were human sacrifices made, but it has a history that goes before Jeroboam, way back into Genesis. This was an evil place. When the Romans ran that place, they had the god to the Caesars that were there. Before the Romans, the Greeks had altars to Pan that were there. It had been an evil place for, it was known as the gates of hell. When Jesus was a boy in Nazareth, on a clear day, you could see that mountain in the distance. It was like the Mordor. That's an evil place. The little kids, you know, when the kids have like that house is haunted. That's an evil place. They looked up there, And so Jesus takes his friends to the place they call the gates of hell, where there have been human sacrifices, where there have been evil forever. And in that place, he says, I want you to know there is a kingdom of darkness, but there is a safety from all of evil. There's a safety from all of darkness when you are in the church. Safest place to be, brothers and sisters. Don't let the enemy take you out. Don't let him distract you. Don't let him get you out. Stay with the church. Safest place to be in the church, and the safest thing the church can be doing is moving forward. You see it? I'll build my church, get with the church, stay with the church, be with your brothers and sisters who are forever family. Stay with them in joy and love. Laugh together, smile while the pastor preaches. Come on, somebody. And the church is best when it's moving forward. The gates of hell. It's not a church that's retreating. It's a church that's looking forward, saying, okay, is there some darkness out there? We're not going to be overcome by darkness. We're going to overcome darkness with good. Is there somebody that's far away from God? We're going to go win them. We're going to go tell them about the goodness of God. We're going to invite them to come into God's family. We're going to be advancing against the kingdom of darkness. John knew it. He said, oh, there's lightness and darkness. So walk in the light and advance against the darkness, just as the opening words of Genesis. The world may be dark, but God says, let there be light. And there is light. And this world needs people of incredible joy who would be walking around the planet making people wonder what you're on. What? You are billboards for Jesus Christ. So live lives of incredible abundant joy. That's what John is saying. Hey, I'm writing these things to you so that your joy will be full. So as you go into a dark world, everywhere you go, you'll just light up the room. Light up the conversation if you're an introvert. Light up one person. But bring light to every place you go. Let people see the joy that God gives, the fullness of joy, that it'll overcome darkness and bring light into a world that desperately needs light. This we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. We're standing together. Can you stand with me for prayer? And as we stand, we make this declaration, and I invite you to declare this with all of us. I invite you to open your heart, some for the first time, some for the first time in a long time, to the presence of God, to the light of God, to the person of Christ. Receive and know that Christ is in you in this moment. He is the light of the world, and he wants to shine out of you. Don't be distracted by darkness. Don't be pulled into darkness. Let the light of God fill this room right now as we pray this prayer together. Our prayer team is coming because we're going to pray for people in a moment. We're going to ask our prayer team to come as we pray these words out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I open my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your light. I repent of sins and darkness. I turn away from them, and I turn towards you, Lord. Thank you, God, for loving me. Jesus, you are my Savior. Jesus, you are my Lord. I want to follow you every day of my life. I want to walk in the light. Fill me with your joy. In Jesus' name, everybody says amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good prayer, guys. Good prayer. Now, if you need a miracle, we believe in miracles. And our prayer team is here to pray with and for you, whatever. Some of you are under an attack. It's a war, darkness, light. And we want to pray for a miracle in your life. And I know you may feel a little uncomfortable coming to the front and receiving prayer, but it's better to overcome that little bit of discomfort that you would go out with your miracle rather than go out without your miracle, because something happens when two or three people pray together, and we're going to pray. While the prayer team is ministering to people and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are ministering here at the altar, if you would like to receive communion, you're more than welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion or to receive prayer or to receive a miracle. You don't have to be a member to receive a miracle. Just God has one for you. So thank you. We're going to do that in a moment. If you've been a guest with us, hang around, stop by the VIP room, which is over on your left-hand side. Come out and have pancakes with us in a moment. Just get to know us a little bit. We love you. We know that God has a plan for your life. We know the devil hates you, and we know that God loves you. We know that darkness is trying to destroy you. We know that. We know that God is trying to bless you, and we just want you to walk in the blessings of God. So just break through that moment of uncomfortableness. Let someone pray with you and for you. Receive what God has for you today. I'm going to pray this prayer, closing prayer. The worship team's then going to lead us. There's no other benediction. You can come for prayer, for communion. Go with the grace of God. Stop by the VIP room, have a pancake. But I just really pray that this will be a day and a week of walking in the light, overcoming darkness. Just be aware of the deceit that the father of lies is trying to take this shortcut. Just take this, it'll give you joy. And it's a cheap thrill, it's not joy. Walk with God, that's joy. Is it unspeakable, he says, and full of God's glory. So I pray that the Lord will bless you and the Lord will keep you. I pray that you would be more than a conqueror through Christ who gives you strength. I pray for our prayer team right now that they would be so filled with the Holy Spirit that the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit will flow, that there will be miracles. The gift of miracles will take place. The gift of healing will take place. The gift of a knowledge and wisdom will be given. And I pray that as we pray, we will stir up our faith and we will step into our divine destiny. Bless the communion. Bless the bread of the Lord, the cup of the Lord, and the way we fellowship with you in communion. We pray that this would be a blessed day and a blessed week. We ask for God to increase in your life. We pray that you will break through. Darkness has no hold on you because you are a child of Almighty God. You are doing the will of God and you will abide forever. This we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord an ovation of praise. Good to be with you. Come forward for prayer, for communion. We love you so much. We'll see you soon.